Earth and Sky.
Essentially, we have a competition between human use, manifest as agriculture in the area, and the drinking water supply, and the simultaneous ability to sustain and nurture the ecosystem, which we have societally decided is important to us. Humans invariably tend to win, you know, in this sort of a game.
You're listening to Upamanu Lal, director of the Columbia Water Center at Columbia University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Lal is collaborating with the National Park Service and the South Florida Water Management District on the Everglades Restoration Project. He spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about how climate change is likely to complicate the restoration of Florida's wetlands, which are the largest wetlands in North America.
We've heard before that the Florida Everglades are a sensitive environmental area, but why is that and what problems are they facing?
The Florida Everglades are the largest wetland and the most biologically productive wetland in North America. And the sensitivity comes from the fact that this is basically a very shallow river. In the early 1900s, it was about 100 by 70 miles, and now it's shrunk to about half that, 50 by 70 miles. We've lost about 90 to 95% of the wading bird species and about 100 of the plants and animal species that are currently existing there are considered endangered. At the same time, the population of the region, South Florida, has changed from about 500,000 to 6 million people. So there's a close intersection between human activity and the loss of wildlife in this area.
And so how is climate change predicted to additionally impact the Everglades?
One of the manifestations of human-induced climate change is going to be the increase in temperatures and the associated change in seasonality. This is quite well established. So this will directly affect the reproductive life stages of the animals and the plants that exist there. The second part that is reasonably well established is that we'll have sea level rise, and the magnitude of sea level rise is in question. And then if you couple that with wind surge, during storms, not just hurricanes, but during storms where there's intense wind, what you're looking at is large-scale invasion of saltwater into the marshes of the Everglades, which are quite shallow and not really that far above mean sea level. In fact, the reduction in the flow has already led to the salinity problems. So these two areas are, I think, fairly well established as concerns at this point.
Just to clarify, you do work to do you predict and analyze the impacts of climate change?
That is correct. So the vast majority of the work we have done looks at climate scenarios, both related to natural variability over the scale of decades to centuries, and the impacts of human-induced climate change jointly. So we have looked at how you take these scenarios and map them into rainfall possibilities, temperature possibilities, changes in seasonality, and what that would mean in terms of the kind of releases the restoration project would have to make to achieve the so-called natural system operation. What we are currently working on is looking at sea level rise and winds and developing scenarios for those so that we have an overall integrated climate and hydrological modeling system that could then be used by the parties involved to assess what the implications would be for different management plans.
And what do you view as what's at stake when you're doing your research or working on this restoration program? What could we lose?
There are two main things that come to a head here. Essentially, we have a competition between human use, manifest as agriculture in the area, and the drinking water supply for the 6 million people that live there, and the simultaneous ability to sustain and nurture the ecosystem, which we have societally decided is important to us. So if you ask what's at stake, First of all, it's the continuing aggravation of that conflict if we are not successful. The second is that humans invariably tend to win, you know, in this sort of a game. So we stand to lose perhaps the most magnificent environmental or ecological resource that the United States has. If you look around the globe, man versus nature seems to typically have a similar outcome. And a loss here in a country that actually would be, you'd think, held as the hallmark of being able to take care of the environment and balance man and nature does not spell well in a global sense.
So why do you think that people, regular people, should know and care about what's happening to the Everglades when they could possibly just see it as kind of, it's off in Florida, I may go visit or I may not. Mm-hmm. Why should they really care?
If you simply look at proxies for how people view the environment in terms of the number of visits to national parks, what people want to do with their vacations, this is important to them. And the fact that you preserve the Everglades as a symbol of preserving all of these things uniformly is important to them. And I think the underlying ethical issue here really is the conflict between man and nature. And that is a universal conflict. If you symbolically or ethically examine that, you will find that the reaction worldwide is similar at a certain level. You know, you run into people in India who are very poor, live in mountains, and are going and tying themselves to trees to prevent deforestation because they view the quality of nature there and the habitat it provides to other species as important. In fact, in the Indian culture, you could argue that while Hinduism is a loosely organized religion, the importance of preserving nature was inculcated early. And this is true, in effect, in all religions. It's manifest in different ways. But at least as far as religion teaches us a message about preservation of certain basic principles, that's where this thing comes across as a uniform goal, I think. And this is why I think people are going to be concerned about the Everglades.
You've been listening to Upmanu Lal, director of the Water Center at Columbia University's Earth Institute. He's also a professor of Earth and Environmental Engineering at Columbia. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.